Let me ask you something. How many of you have already completed your Christmas shopping? Okay. I hate you, but I'm glad you're here. How many of you are going to be rushing out as soon as this service is over today? Kind of do some last-minute shopping. Okay, Ben, me too, maybe. How many of you have re-gifted presents from last year? Or any year, really? Nobody? Yeah. Pat, you know what? Praise God, because you're showing great stewardship there. That's awesome. I think about the re-gifting. There was one of my students one year said, you know, Mr. Cook, we got a gift for you. And it was a Starbucks card. And I went, okay, awesome, man. And on the front was $10 or whatever. I went to Starbucks and it was worth $3.17. It's like, oh, okay, this is one somebody used. Now, before I could get mad at them, I think about this. They're, you know, Margie would give me Amazon gift cards, or we would get gift cards. And immediately what we do is we scratch out the numbers and we add them to our account. But I end up hanging on to the cards and put them in a drawer. So sometimes Phil or Margie or someone will go and grab that thinking that there's money on there. And then when you go, you're surprised because there is absolutely nothing on there. One time, as a school teacher, we used to get mugs, coffee mugs. And if you're like me, you have more coffee mugs than you could ever use. And so I'd get a mug, oh, that's cute, you know, I'm going to give this one to Sylvia because it has a cat on it or something. And so I found myself thinking, maybe I'll just re-gift a couple of these coffee mugs. And there was one that had some candy in it. I said, perfect, it's got some Hershey Kisses in it. It's got some of those little peppermint star-like things, and it's in the mug already, perfect. I put it in a little bag, put a little bow on it. I gave it to a friend of mine. And he goes, so, Mr. Cook, how are things going? And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, the gift you gave me said, Merry Christmas, Mr. Cook, on inside in the candy. And I was like, ah, busted. I thought, Pat, I was showing great stewardship, but anyway, I got busted. How many of you have something in your life you wish was different? Anybody? I think all of us. I know for a lot of people, this could be the best time of year. Family, friends, meals, just excitement. But for others, this is a very, very heavy time of year. Some of us, we have health issues, and this time of year can be difficult, especially having to get up and go. Or even maybe more difficult is when someone that you know or someone that you love has health issues. As my mom sends out these prayer requests and we hear about these people that are having to deal and struggle with these things that are going on in their lives, it kind of hits us in the gut. And I know that this can be a crazy time of year. Things get crazy with schedules. Margie and I, starting at the beginning of this week, we put on our skates and we are just, you know, from one thing to another and visiting here. And then we're going to have a house full of people tomorrow night, like 35 people in my little house. It's like crazy. We got to get everything done. Got to go, go, go. Got to get all the presents. Got to make sure they're wrapped. Got to get the house clean. We got to get everybody to the grandkids' house. And so everything becomes chaotic. And instead of being a peaceful time, a silent night, a quiet time, we find ourselves, like so many people, it's a time full of anxiety. I know financially people are stressed out this time of year. You're spending and spending and spending, and then January comes and you look at the bill that comes in with all of the things that you got for Christmas and you begin to feel it. There are family issues. This is supposed to be, what do they say, a Merry Christmas, but we find out sometimes it's more like a Jerry Springer Christmas, and tensions rise and people get upset. Where is the peace in Christmas? Isaiah 9:6 is a prophetic verse that was given over 700 years before Christ was born. Jesus was called four specific names. He was the Wonderful Counselor. He was the Mighty God. He's the Everlasting Father. And the last thing that Isaiah said is he is the Prince of Peace. And today we're going to look at that. Isaiah 9:6 says this, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And I hope that during this time together of worship, that you will experience the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray today that the words of my mouth and all the meditations of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We had a get-together with some friends, and Steve Devane says, hey, I want to hear, he had us kind of go around the room and say, what are some of the traditions, or what are some of the ways that you celebrated Christmas? And I thought about, you know, what could I say? You know, I remember lighting an Advent candle wreath when we were at home, you know, and it was always cool for the kids because we got to play with matches, you know, that kind of thing. It never really dawned on me about the peace and the hope and the love until I got older. But one of the things I said, I don't remember any special services, but upon reflection, our church used to have a Christmas Eve service. And at the Christmas Eve service, they would dim the lights and we would light candles and that we would sing. And it was this calm night. It was peaceful. And then we would celebrate communion together. And that's what we're going to do tonight. We'll do some candlelight. We'll do some singing and we'll have a short message and we'll share communion together. And it's going to be a peaceful and a holy night. And I remember thinking, as I was reflecting on all of this, that, you know, it's in those moments, in those pockets, where I kind of feel peaceful, and there's no stress and there's no anxiety. But for the most part, my life is filled with anxiousness and hurriedness and busyness. Where is Jesus, the Prince of Peace, that I so feel on a Christmas Eve? Are in those moments of quiet meditation in the mornings, where is he throughout the rest of the day? My normal daily events. I want to look again at Luke chapter 2 in verses 10 through 14. The angel of the Lord is speaking to the shepherds in the field, and he says this, and the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. And when he appeared, the angel said, peace on earth. But yet, when I think about the birth of Jesus, really, if you think about it, it's probably not a very peaceful event. I mean, think about it. There's this teenage girl, Mary. She finds out she's pregnant. And she's pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And she's trying to explain this to her to-be husband. They signed a contract, and she's going to be married to Joseph. And she says, Joseph, guess what? I'm pregnant. He's like, you're what? And she says, but it's by God. And Joseph's like, Mary, I love you, but this ain't going to work. And then he has a dream, and the angel says, hey, what Mary's telling you is true. So don't be afraid to marry her. That's tough to explain to people, and that's probably not peaceful. Can you imagine the stress and the stuff that Mary might have been going through, that Joseph might have been going through? Then let's travel on the journey. They're told that there's going to be a tax and they need to register and go to their hometown. And so they begin this journey. And we always think like, okay, they're on a donkey. But the Bible doesn't really say they're on a donkey. Well, they could be on a camel. The Bible doesn't say they're on a camel. They could have walked that whole distance. The Bible doesn't say that they walked the whole distance. We don't know how they got there, but we do know that there's this pregnant teenager with a man who's still kind of questioning, kind of like, what's going on? Going to a town to register, to find a place to go, is not a very peaceful picture. I think about our pregnancies, mine and Margie's, mostly Margie's. Well, guys, I had a part in it, you know. But I took Margie 3 different times to the hospital in a car, and I could tell you it was anything but peaceful. I'll just be honest with you. It wasn't pleasant for her, and it definitely wasn't pleasant for me. We're talking about being pregnant and traveling, right? So then they get to town, Mary and Joseph. And Mary is bursting here, and she's saying, find us a place to stay. You know, and here's Joseph, probably like many of us, hey, we'll just find a place when we get there, right? Well, guess what? There's no Motel 6. There's no Fleabag Hotel. There's no Hilton or Marriott. He couldn't use points. Everything is booked up. And he finally makes a deal with a guy who says, look, we don't have any room here, but you can go in this main, you know, this barn, which is really historically more like a little cave kind of carved out where the animals, you know, where they would go and kind of keep the animals. And so Joseph kind of negotiates that, and he goes back to his pregnant wife and says, well, I couldn't find you a bed, Mary, but what I did find you was a barn with animals. There'll be some hay. We'll kind of make a thing, okay? So we can have a baby in a barn. And I kind of picture that as I was growing up, and you think about the manger scenes, you know, and we used to have a manger scene over here, and we've got one in the hall there, but you got little sheep here, and you got camel bow over here, and you got like a cattle are lowing. You've got all of these kind of things, and I can imagine there's a smell, and, you know, it's a manger area for, a manger is a feeding trough for these animals, and so it's got to smell like animals. Not very peaceful. There's no epidural for Mary, and she births Jesus. And we think, not a sound he makes. Little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. Well, that would scare a parent, wouldn't it? Because you want to hear that cry. You want to hear that noise to know that your child is alive. And here's Mary birthing a child. I'm sure she was screaming or yelling at Joseph. But Jesus is born. And Isaiah says he is the Prince of Peace, and he enters into this world. Then Herod, the king, he gets threatened. And he's going, you know what? I've heard rumors about this. There have been some prophecies about this. And these three wise men, or these several wise men, magi come. And I'm wondering, is this guy here to overthrow me? And so the king says, you know what? I got an idea. Let's just kill that baby. And in order to make sure that we kill this baby, any male child under the age of 2, we're just going to kill them all. So where is the peace in that? Fast forward now today, and I see people who don't have peace. Even in our church, people that are filled with anxiety and tension and stress. I see Christian marriages, and I hear stories all the time, and I think, okay, he knows Jesus and she knows Jesus. They should have this peaceful marriage, right? But they don't. And yet studies show many Christian marriages end up in divorce the same as non-Christian marriages. It's about 50% for non-Christians and for Christians. Some studies say that's even more. So where is the Prince of Peace in all of that? Financially, most people I know make far more money today than they have ever had in their whole lives. And yet there's more financial pressure on them than they've ever had. Where is the peace in all of that? I look at relational tension. People seem that we can't get along. You can't even pull into a parking lot with somebody flipping you off or honking their horn. And that's on Christmas Eve. So where's the peace in that? You turn on the news, what do you see? Car bombing, school shootings, countries at war. And if Jesus is the king and the Prince of Peace, did he fail? I don't want to sound like a heretic or anything, but, you know, I certainly don't want you running out going, crucify Paul. I came for a nice little message on Christmas Eve, and here he is kind of making me feel bad, right? Ultimately, it depends on how we define peace. I've always thought peace would be, like we said as we lit the candle this morning, that it would be this absence of anxiety. It would be this calmness that would help me when I'm disturbed. But when we study Jesus, the Prince of Peace, we find he is so much more than that. So who is this Jesus, the Prince of Peace? And I want to share with you what he's called in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. In Hebrew, the Hebrew word is Sar Shalom. Sar means one who is in charge, a lord, a chief, or a general. Sar, it means the captain. It means the Lord. We get the word Tsar, C-Z-A-R, from that, which is the leader or the ruler. And it became Caesar, which meant he was the king or the ruler or the person in charge. So what we're saying is that Jesus is the captain. He's the chief. He's the Lord. He is the Tsar of Shalom. Shalom, that's a word we've heard before. Shalom means rest, tranquility, peace, wholeness, completeness. Shalom is actually a greeting they would share with each other. Shalom. I remember I had the opportunity to go to Israel. You guys sent me to Israel for a once-in-a-lifetime trip. It was unbelievable. And I got Steve and Sandra a little thing. It says, Shalom, y'all. And so they could hang that up. Shalom, peace, tranquility, wholeness. Jesus is the Sar Shalom. He's the captain of rest. He's the Lord of tranquility. He's the chief of contentment. He is the Sar Shalom. And as long as we are under Christ, we can have peace. Do you hear that? When we are under Christ, when we are under his lordship as Sar, we can have shalom. We can have peace. Does that mean we can do whatever we want and still have peace? No. Because all we are doing at that point is doing something outside of the lordship of Christ and the leadership of shalom. For example, can a couple get into a big fight, go ballistic with one another, and call each other names and embarrass their kids, then all of a sudden expect to have the peace of God in their life? No, because they are outside of the lordship of Christ. Can a person charge up all their credit cards and spend more money than they make and just expect to have peace about it all? No, they are outside the will of Sar Shalom. It's only when we are under the lordship of Jesus, the one who is in charge, that we can experience Jesus' peace. And the amazing thing is that when we are under the lordship of Christ, he gives us a peace that most people don't understand. The world doesn't understand. So when your private world is falling apart, Jesus still can give us this inward peace that goes beyond any human comprehension or understanding. Jesus is the Sar Shalom. He's the Prince, the Lord of peace. So what does that mean for us in our everyday life? And it's just two things I want to share with you today. First off, he is the one who comforts us. He comforts you. Some of you right now, you have some things in your life that are just going haywire, and in your life, there's no inward peace. Understand that Sar Shalom, Jesus, wants to bring you comfort. This is what Jesus said in John. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Notice whose peace it is that we get. It's his peace. It's not our peace. It's the peace of the one who's in charge. He gives us peace. Steve is a good friend of mine, Steve Smith. He can fix just about anything. You remember the show MacGyver? It should have been called McSteve, okay? He can take a paper clip and a piece of tape and build you a house. You know, I mean, he's really that good here. When Steve comes over to my house to do something, he can tell me, hey, Paul, you need to take this wire, you need to add it here, do this, do this, do this. And I trust him because I'm under his lordship at that point because I don't know. I mean, you've heard the story with me and power tools. You know, I cut part of my finger off. Not on purpose, but it happened. But when Steve is there and he's giving me direction, it's like I'm able to do these things. When we're under the lordship of Jesus and he is the Lord of our lives, we can have this peace because he is in charge and we get his peace. When I'm under Steve, I get his knowledge. I get his experience, not mine. You give me a paper clip and a piece of tape and I end up sticking a paper clip to a piece of tape. You may be a believer in Jesus. You know, you may have said, you know, walked down an aisle at one point and said, you know what, I'm a believer in this Jesus. But yet we still want to be the Lord of our life, and we're trying to live life on our terms, and we find ourselves in these messes, and our life is all messed up, and we're anxious, and we're in knots. And we're trying to figure things out. We're trying to solve things on our own. We're trying to cope with life outside of the Sar Shalom, outside of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. What do we do? Well, the scripture's clear. Look at Philippians. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Cry out to God. Call out to God. And the peace of God, That's God's peace, not my peace, not your peace, but the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and will guard our minds in Christ Jesus. You can try to get out of stuff on your own, but eventually you're going to wear out. When we're outside trying to cope on our own and we don't have peace, we simply step under the lordship of Christ, and then we can take our requests and present them to him and say, I can't do this. I can't do this any longer. So God, I am trusting you because you are in charge and I have your peace. And sometimes you may not know just how good he is until you know just how hard life can be. You've heard it said that sometimes we have to reach rock bottom before we can start to get better. And some of us, we just kind of keep playing around and don't even realize that we're at the bottom already. Some of you right now, that's where you're at. Yeah, Jesus is my Savior, and I love God, and I love others, and I want to make disciples. I want to do all the things that Christ said, but I also want to live on my own terms. We talked in our Sunday school class this morning. We all want that love, and we all want that grace of God, but now what about the truth? He tells us to live this way and to do this and to come under his lordship. You know, we want Jesus as Savior, but not as Lord. So the first thing, he gives us comfort. And the second thing, he is the one who saves us. He's the one who saves us. Paul says this in Romans, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the scripture doesn't say we've been justified by our good works or by any religious efforts. But we have peace with God, not because we are out here trying to do our own good works. We have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And you say, maybe I don't feel peace. Why is that? For me as a child, for years, I would say, you know, I have peace with God, or I didn't have peace with God, and I'd continue to seek after him. And I felt drawn to him, and I always wondered, God, have I just done so many bad things in my life that you just don't want to pour anything onto me? Could I ever do enough stuff to maybe get it right? I remember as a kid going to church and just praying, God, I hope I'm all right with you. Maybe that is you too. And then I found myself, I blew it big time. I'm sorry that Steve White isn't here to confirm this story for you, but at the old church where I grew up as a kid, it was over on Forest Parkway, which was just a little two-lane road at that time, and the church was one of those old churches, and we had like a sanctuary, and we had the Sunday school rooms, and it just smelled like an old building, you know. But there, downstairs in the basement, there were all these little hidden passages. And what we would do, since the pastors were usually these old guys and the young kids, we didn't want to listen to them, you know. What we would do is we would sit there, sing that first hymn, and then we would kind of slip out the back. And we went downstairs one time, and we were racing down the hall. We found a couple wheelchairs, and we're running and racing down the halls, thinking like, hey, this is great, man. We're at church, you know, and blah, 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 until I guess we were making so much noise. We ran into three of the elders of the church. You know, the guys that look at you like this, welcome to church. Now go sit down and shut up. Those guys. And one of them was Bill's father, and I had Bill in the wheelchair, and I just kind of pushed him into his father. And he just looked at us, and the look froze all six of us under the church. And all they said was, boys, I'm disappointed in you. And that crushed us, because if he was disappointed in us for doing this in God's home, what was God thinking of me at that time? We wonder sometimes why there's an absence of peace in our life. I can tell you it's because maybe we're living outside of the Lordship, the one who can really bring us this spiritual peace. And that is why Christmas is so, so incredibly important. The scripture we learn more, the first thing we learn is God so loved the world that he sent his only son, Jesus. And he was born of a virgin by the Holy Spirit. And why is that so important? Because we, as earthly fathers, we have a sin nature. We inherit it, and we pass it on to our kids. You do not have to tell a little kid one day, hey, I'm going to teach you how to sin. They will sin on their own. They will lie. Who broke this? I didn't. I don't know. You never have to tell a kid to do that. You never have to tell a kid to be selfish. Have you seen kids playing? He's got my toy. And then they start hitting each other and biting each other because they took what I thought was mine. You don't have to teach a kid that. It comes innately to them. And as adults, it's innate in us. We have a bent towards that. But Jesus, who was born of a virgin, did not have this sin nature. So he could be this perfect lamb, this perfect sacrifice. He could be this innocent lamb that was slain for the sins of us on the cross, so that we could not only be forgiven and not only be reconciled to God, but we could have a peace that passes understanding. We look at our world today and we see wars and we see economic strife, and we've got this contentious election coming back up that has split churches across the nation the last time it happened, and it looks like it's splitting families and everything else again. Where's the peace in that? It's remembering. I'll tell you where the peace is. It's remembering that Jesus is still Lord. Jesus is still in charge. Jesus is still on the throne. Jesus wants to be the Lord of our lives if we will let him. But he is not going to force himself on anybody. Some of you, you're not trying to be a bad person, but you wonder, why am I still doing these kind of crazy things? Paul even says that. Why do I do the things I don't want to do? And I don't do the things that I know I should be doing. He says this in Ephesians, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he, Christ himself, is our peace. Stop struggling. Stop trying to carry the weight of the world on your shoulders, because outside of him, we have no promises. Inside of him, we have the peace that passes all understanding. We have the peace of the one who's in charge, the Sar, Shalom. Again, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, for unto us is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince, Lord, King, Ruler, Captain of Peace. Merry Christmas. Let's pray. Father, so many times in our lives, we run at a hectic pace, and it's of our own doing. And so, Father, right now, I just ask that you would just cover us with your Spirit. Father, give us a sense of peace. Give us a sense of calmness. Give us a sense of assurance that you are the one in charge, that battles are being fought in the heavenly places for us, that we can just stop and we can breathe and we can rest. Father, I pray for our church that we would be the church that you have called us to be, that we would be a church that would be under your lordship, and that we would have the peace that passes all understanding here in this place. And I pray, Father, that would spill out into our lives, into our homes, and everything that we do. And Father, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.